Track 4, Grieving Losses. On the last track, we discussed projection and introjection in the desexualization of childhood sexual abuse. We also looked at the use of positive retrospection exercises. On this track, we will discuss grieving the loss of security and the loss of childhood and the benefit of using the storytelling technique. As you have observed in your own work, children who have experienced sexual abuse at a young age tend to lose vital emotional function, and these become painfully apparent when the child grows to adulthood. Now, let's look at some losses that survivors of sexual abuse suffer. Then we will explore some grieving techniques to facilitate the client growing past these losses. I have found in working with clients experiencing sexual abuse, losses of security affected their experience of safety, trust, comfort, certainty, and predictability. In addition to the loss of security, the survivor of sexual abuse experiences loss of childhood via loss of innocence, spontaneity, memory, and the freedom of choice. Also, these clients lose a sense of self. Agree? By this I mean they lose a feeling of empowerment, esteem, and identity. Other losses they suffer are attachment, nurturing, and meaningful relationships. In the grieving process, some clients experience a multitude of fears, such as uncontrollable crying, being destroyed, and appearing weak. Judith Herman writes, "The telling of a trauma story inevitably plunges the survivor into profound grief. Since so many of the losses are invisible or unrecognized, the customary rituals of mourning provide little consolation." 7-year-old Samantha was experiencing loss of security when she was referred to me after being sexually abused by her mother's boyfriend. Instantly, Samantha became demanding, clinging, and possessive, and constantly followed her mother as well as myself around the room. She seemed anxious and quick to please. Her mother, Lynette, was a single parent and working 2 jobs, along with coping with chronic illness. As a result, Lynette became emotionally overwhelmed and rejected Samantha's affection. This led to Samantha's overzealous desire for physical contact and fear of separation. Make sense? Some invisible signs that a client needs to grieve an emotional loss include, as you know, sadness, anger, loneliness, fatigue, helplessness, shock, yearning, and numbness. Symptoms that exist for an extended period of time may, as you know, indicate an even more severe level of psychological trauma. As you well know, post-traumatic stress disorder stems from events that threaten death, serious injury, or personal integrity of the self. To qualify for post-traumatic stress disorder, clients must experience symptoms in 3 categories: re-experiencing, avoidance, and arousal. For the survivors of sexual trauma, a memory is unalterably fixed in their consciousness. Whether or not they want to, they relive the trauma over and over again. Any attempt to block the memory is futile. The remembrance is especially intrusive the more severe the trauma, as you are aware. In addition, many times the way in which the memories manifest themselves is foreign. Sometimes it may be just a fragment of the memory, for instance. The face of the abuser may suddenly appear out of nowhere in their mind's eye. Let's talk about other psychological dilemmas that result from sexual assault of adolescents. The first of these is the loss of territorial boundaries, and this was discussed to some length earlier. More than anything else, a rape is a violation of the territorial boundary of the skin. This can leave the adolescent feeling incomplete, because adolescents are still in the process of discovering who they are. This disruption, as you know, can be particularly devastating. I feel it is essential, as stated earlier, to work to rebuild a healthy sense of personal boundaries. A second psychological dilemma occurs when the client questions his or her ability to control their environment. Jessie, age 14, experienced this dilemma after she was raped by her mother's boyfriend. From the age when they learn the word no, adolescents like Jessie are constantly trying out their degree of control over different aspects of life. When a trauma such as a rape occurs, this sense of control is skewed and they might react in different ways. Jesse reacted by exerting an extraordinary amount of independence while in the foster home, and later when she began to live with her biological father, George. She became angry, acted out, and violated rules and limits her father had set for her. I believe her belligerent behavior was her attempt to regain the control she had lost after her rape. What do you think? I found one way to aid clients like Samantha, mentioned earlier in this tape, in trusting and rebuilding those emotional characteristics that she had lost is through the storytelling technique. Samantha placed her name on a tape. I then told her to tell a story. If the client is shy, I ask them a few basic questions to make the child more comfortable. Next, I ask the client to tell me a story. The more stories they tell, the more comfortable I find they will feel with me. Thus, the more I can translate from the story about the client in their real life. For example, Samantha said, "Once upon a time, there lived a pelican, and this pelican went like this. Ee-ee." He was embarrassed with that noise. He tried not to do it, but that's all he could say, was ee-ee. So then, he tried to kill himself. Then, he tried to say something else. Then, he found out that he didn't have to kill himself. I felt the sound the pelican made was perhaps symbolic of Samantha's need to speak out and the consequences of doing so. She soon learned that if she denied the abuse verbally, she would not be embarrassed or punished. On this track, we discussed grieving the loss of security and the loss of childhood, as well as the use of a storytelling technique. On the next track, we will discuss the ways play therapy can be used when dealing with repetitive rituals, control, and regressive behavior. We will also look at setting boundaries in play therapy. Question 4. What is one technique used with a sexually abused client who is grieving the experience?